I want you, if you can, open up your Bibles. Matthew chapter 6. I have a word that's going to forever change your life. Forever change your life. Everything changes today. Amen. The word of the Lord is going to change your life today. You'll never be the same again. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Forever. The Lord will change your life forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one or love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life." Tell your neighbor, do not worry. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry. Say, don't worry.
Don't worry
about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father really knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Amen. Amen. How many of you love that word?
Amen.
Praise God. God is so good. Hallelujah. Before I get into preaching, there's just some prophetic words. My friend, this young lady right here in the black, the Lord told me to tell you, do not forget what he's promised you. Even though you might have forgotten dreams of the past, he's never forgotten the word that he's spoken over your life. And he's the one that spoke it, and he's the one that deposited it. He will see it through. Amen. With your eyes, you will see it. All your efforts and all your trying and all your sacrifice that you think that you need to do to get there, it's worthless in the eyes of God, because God is the one that's going to take you there. It's going to be like a dream. You're just going to get there, and you're going to give him all the glory. Amen? Amen. So do not forget it. Keep it before you, because you're going to see with your eyes what God has spoken to you in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Praise God. Give God praise for that word. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And another word, and this is actually for the men. This is for several men. But the Lord says, I have called you to become a man of faith, not a man standing on sand. Your feet shall be planted on solid rock. You are a foundation that I desire to build families and lives upon. Grab a hold of my word, says the Lord. Do not allow your emotions to dictate where you will go and what you will do. Let my word direct your steps, and let my promise be fulfilled in your life, and you shall see that the foundations that I will build can never be shaken. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that word. Amen. The word of the Lord here is, do not worry. Amen. Say, don't worry.
Don't worry.
Look at your neighbor and say, stop worrying.
Stop worrying.
See, God gave us a word at the beginning of the year that this year he's going to remove worry off of our life.
Amen.
I'm not going to worry about it. How about you?
Amen.
Not going to worry about it. Say, I'm not going to worry about it. Again, I'm not going to worry about it. See, over and over, Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Oh, what about tomorrow? Don't worry. What about paying my bills? Don't worry. What about my marriage? Don't worry. Over and over, the word of the Lord says, don't worry. If you worry, you are disobeying the command of Jesus. If you worry, you're disobeying the command of Jesus. I want to give you a definition, the definition for worry. And this is a definition in the dictionary. Worry, it gives way to anxiety. Worry is the door to anxiety. When you hear people that say, I suffer with anxiety. Maybe a friend says, I suffer anxiety. Or some of you here say you suffer anxiety. Or doctors will tell you, you're suffering from anxiety. It's because you open the door to anxiety with worry. And anxiety overtakes you where you cannot function. It is the spirit of fear in operation. That's what worry is. It is the spirit of fear in operation. And we are people of faith. How many people of faith are here today? Amen. And so you shall not worry. You shall not worry. The Bible says in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Many of us look at that as our food and our bread and our bills being paid, but it's in every area of your life. Amen. There's some people that you're worried if you're going to find a husband or a wife or have children. Don't worry about it. But Pastor, people keep on asking me, tell them stop worrying. When are you going to get married? Why are you worried about that? Amen. See, you have to start using your faith instead of worry. If you're walking in faith, there's no worry. It's done in the name of Jesus. But if you're walking in worry, it overtakes you, anxiety, it destroys you. And I'm going to give you some spiritual things, but I'm going to give you some natural things, some things of the flesh and things of the spirit, things that you should do when the attack of worry comes. Things with what you should do when you're put in a situation where you are pressed. When a problem arises and then an answer needs to be given, but you don't have the answer. And so many times because of that void of not having the answer, we begin to worry. There are people that are worried about tomorrow. But Jesus says, why are you even worrying about tomorrow? Amen. Don't you know that everything that God has given you today day is sufficient? I mean, the Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. How can you rejoice and be glad in this day if you're worried about tomorrow? Amen. I remember one person, they called me up one day and they said, Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't pay my bills. My electric bill, it's due. They said they're going to cut off the electricity tomorrow, and I don't have any money to pay the electric bill. And I said, when are they going to cut it off? They said, tomorrow. I said, good. Then you should go and gather the kids and just do a light show today and enjoy the light that you got today. Why are you worried about something that's going to happen tomorrow? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Because when you worry, it destroys it destroys time. You know, time you should have been enjoying with your kids. Time you should have been enjoying with your family. Time you could be serving the Lord. It's fear that paralyzes you. Anxiety that overtakes you. Do not worry, says the Lord. Even Jesus said, look at the lilies of the field. Even all the glory of this world could not clothe them as great as God can clothe the lilies of the field. Just imagine how the Lord will provide clothes for you, how the Lord will take care of you, how the Lord will provide for you, how the Lord will bless you. See, when you walk in faith, there's no more limits. You have the King's provision. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and living righteously, and all these things shall be added unto you. You become heaven-minded instead of earthly-minded. Instead of trying to figure out what you're going to do for yourself, heaven begins to lead, direct, provide, bless, and empower you to serve the King. It's all about the kingdom. Say, it's all about the kingdom. There was this woman. She was her husband had died. She was raising a few kids. Very poor. Very, very poor. And at the time, they would encourage the boys when they would finish like the sixth grade, they would tell them, why don't you quit school, start working, and supply for the family. That was the advice the pastor had given the family because they were so poor. But this woman was a woman of faith. This woman said, no, my children are going to go to high school. My son's going to go to high school. So she wouldn't let her son quit school. So he went to high school, finished high school. And at the end of high school, they said, why don't you begin to work and supply for your family? And the mother said, nope. My son's going to go to college. My son's going to go to university. And they had no money. There was no way they could afford it. But this was a woman of faith. When you got a woman of faith, you can't tell her no. She found her way, and her way is through Jesus Christ. He is her source and her supply. She bought a bus ticket for her son. She said, son, you're going to get on that bus. You're going to stand in that line for enrollment. And when you get to the front, God is going to supply for you. She gave him like $5. That's all he had in his pocket. And he gets in line. He doesn't have any money. He's thinking, oh no, what am I going to do? I have no money. But my mom told me to stand in line. My mom told me to stand in line, so I'm going to stand in line. And he's thinking, oh man, what am I going to do? All the way over there. Now understand, he was worried. He was stressed. I mean, what am I going to do? I don't have the money to go to school. We don't have any money. All I have is $5, and I spent it on the way over here eating. And then he heard someone call out his name. And he ignored it because he didn't want to get out of the line. And someone else, they called again. They called his name and said, get out of line. And he ignored it. He didn't want anybody to recognize who he was. And finally, the third time, we are looking for this man. And he lifts up his hand. And he gets out of line. He says, sir, I'm so sorry. That's me. I have to go to school. My mom sent me to go to school. I know I don't have any money, but I'll work for it. I'll do whatever it takes. But please, let me stay in line. And they looked at him and he said, son, we called you because we have a full scholarship for you. Amen. Hallelujah. That is our God. Yes. Amen. Amen. God will make a way where no man can make a way. Right. Amen. God will provide for you. He'll take care of you. But the thing is, you cannot worry. You have to overcome worry. You have to destroy worry. Worry cannot be a part of your life. Worry does not have any benefit to it. There's not one good thing about being worried. Not one good thing about worrying. Not one good thing about being worried. There's being wise, but I'm not talking about being wise. I'm talking about being worried. There's not one benefit to being. There's not nothing that could be added to your life by worrying one moment. So why don't you just make a decision? I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. There are people that are being overcome with fear because they're worrying. They're so scared. They hear in the news. I mean, if you watch the news, they'll give you at least 30,000 things to worry about every day. One day you turn on the news and they say, oh, there's someone breaking in cars. Here's tips to how to secure your car. And then the next right after that story is an ad on car alarm systems that they just sold, and they made up a story just so they could sell you. Bunch of suckers. That's all they are. That's all they're thinking. Oh, man, let's put somewhere. It's flu season. Listen, there's duck season. There's baseball season. There's football season. But there's no such thing as flu season. Amen. Amen. They put a report. The Hong Kong flu is in the Rio Grande Valley. And you're worried about Hong Kong flu. You never even been to Hong Kong. And we're worried about those things or land control. I remember one time, I've shared that testimony before when they thought, you know, when we started, when there was wars going on and people worried about, you know, chemical weapons in the Rio Grande Valley, and then they had a story of how to protect your family. And here I am, the father. I'm thinking, I need to protect my kid, my family. I got my two daughters. I got my wife. I need to protect. And they said, go and buy painter's plastic and duct tape and seal your doors. I was there at Home Depot buying painter's plastic and duct tape. I thought I was being responsible. I wasn't being responsible. I was being worried. I found myself hanging that thing, and I thought, wait a minute. If there was such a devastation of chemical weapons happening here, this little plastic thing's going to save me? I don't think so. And the Lord began to minister to me. He says, I'm your shepherd. I take care of you. Stop worrying. Amen. Tell your neighbor, stop worrying. Tell your neighbor, don't worry about it. See, if you got a problem tomorrow, why are you worried about it today? It's not going to add anything to your life worrying about it today. Amen. And so don't worry. Don't allow fear to come in. Don't allow anxiety. That's what worry is, the doorway of anxiety. You got to keep that door shut. You know, say, well, Pastor, a little worry is good. No, that's a lie. Amen. Jesus said it doesn't add not one bit to your life. Not one bit to your life. Don't worry in every area. But, Pastor, I'm worried about my kids growing up and loving God. Listen, you pray, you give it to God, and then you stand in faith. But, Pastor, I'm worried about getting my bills paid. Listen, you go before God. You honor the Lord with your substance. You walk by faith. Don't worry about it. The Lord shall take care of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Worry attacks the mind. It destroys peace. Worry causes confusion. You cannot think clearly. When you have someone that is worried, they don't even know what they're worried about. When anxiety comes upon them, they open up the doorway. Next thing you know, they're speaking gibberish. They've lost control of their mind that has taken over their actions of their body. Stresses rise up. Sicknesses come in. Depression takes hold of them. You got to shut the door. But what about just a little bit more? No. No. Keep that door shut. Keep that door shut. Don't take worry. Just be cool. Chill out. Hakuna Matata. Amen. Tell your neighbor, chill out. How many of you, it's been at least about 15 years since you said that before? Welcome to Faith Pleases God Church. I heard a story about this. There was a man that he accidentally got locked in the freezer. And they had left the restaurant and he was locked in the freezer. And so, you know, he was going to freeze overnight. He thought, you know, so he wrote a note. And that night he passed away. In the morning time, they opened up the freezer and they saw him dead. But the weird thing about it was that when they examined him and they looked at the freezer had been shut off. And it wasn't blowing any more cold air. But the man thought that he was going to freeze to die, that worry killed him before. That's the power of your mind. That's the power of your faith in the negative. The power of the spirit of fear that attacks to try to destroy you. Amen. Don't allow worry, not one bit. There have been times where I faced situations. Listen, I've been thrown in prison. I've been arrested three times. I've been arrested three times. Not because of anything other than I was preaching the gospel. Amen. And I would go in, every time I went in there, I began to think about it. I began to think, okay, there's a possibility. And you know, it's one thing being thrown in jail, you know, here in the valley or in the United States. But I'm talking about in Kenya and in Uganda. Two times in Uganda. They love me there. And you think, well, I'm going to be... What if I'm here? I started thinking, my goodness, I'm going to be surrounded by a captive audience, I get to preach to them. I get to share the gospel of Jesus. I could raise up an army of mighty warriors for Christ Jesus. I got so excited that when they said, okay, you could go, I got a little sad. I was like, okay. My mind was already, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm here because I'm doing the Lord's business. Oh, what an honor it is to suffer for Christ. Now, if I did something, I'd be like, oh, Jesus, help me. Have mercy upon me. But I knew what I was there for was for the gospel's sake. I was kingdom-minded. And because I was kingdom-minded, I don't worry. Amen? Tell your neighbor, don't worry. Hallelujah. Worry is being oppressed by the spirit of fear. It is demonic. Jesus came to set you free. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Say, God has not given me a spirit of fear. But a power, love, and sound mind. And so if God didn't give it to you, don't take it. If God didn't give it to you, don't take it. I know situations arise up. I know people are going to ask you for answers. I know there's times that you don't have the answers, but you have the answer, and his name is Jesus. Amen. And so just because you can't give them the answer in the moment, don't allow that their pressure to overtake you. Just smile, be at peace, bless them, and watch what the Lord is going to do for your life. Amen. Watch how God will provide. Amen. In John 14, verse 27, Jesus is talking to us in John 14, verse 27. I'm going to read it to you. It says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Jesus said that. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid, because I'm going to give you a gift. And the gift I'm giving you is peace. Is peace. Jesus gives us peace. He is the Prince of Peace. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but Jesus has given us the gift of peace. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. I don't accept that fear. I don't accept that worry. I don't accept anxiety in my life. No, I have peace. Because you cannot have one and take hold of the other. You have to let go of anxiety and worry and fear to grab hold of the peace that God has given you. Amen. You have to take it. Your faith takes it. You're either going to live in the what if, I don't know what I'm going to do, I don't know what's going to happen, or you could say, Lord, thank you, I receive peace in Jesus' name. You are my source, my supply. You provide all things according to your riches and glory. Amen. You supply my needs. Amen. Hallelujah. Say peace. And so what do? James 4, 7 says, resist the devil and he shall flee. Resist the devil. That spirit of fear has to go in the name of Jesus. You got to resist. Listen, I could preach to you all I want. I could pray for you. I can encourage you. I could show up at your house, bring you coffee and donuts and tell you, don't worry about it. Pat your hair and pat you on the back and say, it's going to be okay. But none of that matters. Only thing that matters is when you stand up and say, I command that spirit of fear to get out of my mind, get out of my house, get out of my life. I don't accept you in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Get out, get out, get out. Somebody shout, fear, get out.
Fear,
worry, get out.
Worry,
in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
See, that's the authority and the power that God has given you. That worry, that fear is a devil, then it needs to go back to hell. Amen. You cannot, listen, someone gives you a phone call, gives you bad news. Next thing you know, you're walking around your house depressed, moping, screaming at your husband, screaming at your kids, kicking the cat. No, no, no. Let's save the cat. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. Resist that devil. Get out in the name of Jesus. They want you to worry. They call you up. They say, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? I'm going to say, look, first of all, how did you get my number? And please lose it. Amen. God is the one that's going to take care of me. Amen. Start preaching to them. Figure out how long they'll stay on the phone. You know, you start preaching. Listen, if you have to, go to our website, faithpleasesgod.com, and there's a button called Relive. Relive is going to have this message and my notes. If you have to, while they're calling you to try to put pressure on you to do something, just pull out those notes and start preaching to them this message to them. And then watch how long they'll stay on the line. Watch how long. And start praying for them. Can I pray for you? I'm going to pray that you get a better job. I'm going to pray that you get a better job still trying to pressure people to do stuff, you know, because 99% of those things are scams. They're thieves. Amen. You got to resist that devil. Now, I only have 11 more minutes. See, you should have come to church. You would have had the whole thing. But you can also watch us online right now. Go to faithpleasesgod.com. You'll see a link there. But I only have a few minutes because I want to give you what to do when you're attacked with worry. Amen. How to shut that door. Because not only I laid down the spiritual foundation, but I want to give you some physical things that you can do. The Bible says faith without works is dead. And so you have to operate in the spirit and in the natural because you are a spirit man, but you also live in a body. Amen. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 4, it says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. Amen. It didn't say God's weak weapons, God's mighty weapons. And these mighty weapons are to do this, to destroy the strongholds of the mind. Amen. Because when you talk to a person that's suffering from anxiety, it's because they got a stronghold in their mind. They take medicine. That medicine does not heal them. That medicine allows them to forget about their thoughts for a season. Jesus doesn't want you to forget your thoughts for a season. He wants to kill that thought as if it never even happened. He wants you to be free. Amen. He came to set the captives free. So we use God's mighty weapons for the destruction of those strongholds of the mind. There are some people that think nobody loves me, but then the love of God comes and touches them and they realize that they have a heavenly Father that loves them. There's some people that say that there's no way that I can make it in life, but then God begins to encourage them. They walk by faith and they start doing things beyond their imagination and they realize that God had a plan and a purpose for them. Amen. God's weapons destroy the strongholds of the mind. If you are dealing with someone that has a strong mindset, stop trying to convince them and argue with them and debate with them. Start praying for them and using the mighty weapons of God and watch how those strongholds will break off. Listen, a miracle changes everything. People will say that God doesn't exist, but when somebody who can't walk begins to walk because of the name of Jesus, they will believe that Jesus is alive. Amen. Here are the three weapons. Number one, the weapon of truth, the word. You have to know the word. You have to know the word of God. You have to hear the word of God here at the church. I'm working on something. Next week I'm going to announce it. It's going to change the world, and there's going to be no excuse for you not to know the word. I cannot tell you any more than that, but we are working hard to see this established. Amen? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so number one, the weapon that you use to tear down the stronghold is the word. The word is truth. And truth removes light, removes darkness. It's like a light that removes it all out. Every lie, it goes when truth comes in. The word of God is truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Number two, the weapon of his promises towards you. As you being spirit-filled believers of God, your name is written in heaven. There are these promises that are available to you. They are your inheritance. Say, it's my inheritance. And so it's available to you. When a person says, I'm afraid of dying, why are you afraid of dying? When the Word of God says that your name is written in heaven, the Word of God says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When the Word of God says that you walk on streets of gold, and in His kingdom there are many mansions, and Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Why are you afraid of dying? It's because you don't have the Word inside your heart. You don't have the truth in your heart. You're thinking about death as it being the end. No, death is just going home. I'm working right now. But when I leave this world, I'm going home. Nobody ever gets discouraged of going home when they're at work. They try to get the work done quick so they can go home. You wonder why I preach all the time? I'm trying to get home. Trying to get the world saved while I get on a plane and travel around the world. I'm trying to go home. Amen. But I'm working. The Word of God says this gospel will preach all over the world, and then the end will come. I'm trying to speed things up a little bit. Amen. That's why we're on the internet, and that's why we're doing these new things. Amen. Hallelujah. And so when you know who you are, you're not discouraged to death. You're like, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. The devil will tell you, oh, you're going to die. Well, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You know, the devil tries to say, what if the plane crashes? I'd be shouting hallelujah all the way down. I would be giving the quickest salvation call to everybody. Listen, we're going to meet Jesus quickly. You're either going to go to heaven or hell. Give your life to the Lord. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. That's the way, that's my mindset to everything. I'm not worried. I got to keep on. I don't have. And the third weapon, the weapon of His power. You have the weapon of His truth, the weapon of His promises towards you, and the weapon of His power. It might be impossible for you, but it's not impossible for God. God can do things for you that you could not do for yourself. He can move mountains if you walk by faith. And so these things are operating in your life. We prayed for a woman at the conference, the healing conference we had in McAllen. She was going to have surgery the next day because they had found tumors in her body. And we prayed that those tumors would leave, that they won't find any tumors in her body, and they wouldn't have to do the operation. The next day, she goes to the hospital. They examine her. No tumors. They couldn't do the operation. Amen. We have the weapon of His power. And our God is full of power. And the reason why He wants to do this is because He wants to show off His glory. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He's trying to show forth His goodness in your life so that everybody that gets to see who you are and sees what your life is about, they just see the glory of God. They see the glory of God in your family. They see the glory of God in your finances. They see the glory of God in your peace and your joy and your walk with God. They see God's glory upon your life. Amen. But you have to walk in the truth of the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me give you these three last things. Let me give you the natural. Actually, there's four things you must do when worry starts to attack in the natural. Because, you know, faith without works is dead. I gave you the spiritual weapons that are available to you. But now I want to give you some things that you can do to help you in that time when worry is starting to come and attack your life. First, lay down the foundations that this doesn't belong to you. Lay down the truth of the Word of God is what you're going to meditate on, and begin to have faith that with God, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. But here are the things, four things you must do. Number one, and you must write these down. The first, there's a question you have to ask yourself. What am I worried about? There are a lot of people that start getting worried, but they don't even know what they're worried about. What am I worried about? And then write it down. Write it down. Why do I write it down? So that your opinion will not change tomorrow. You'll say, what am I worried about? You think it's a person, but then when you really examine the issue, you realize it's not a person. It was just a decision that needed to be made. Or an action that needed to be changed. or something going on in the situation. And so what am I worried about? That's the first question you must ask when worry starts to attack. Number two, the second question that you have to ask is, what can I do about it? What can I do about it? When worry starts to come in, you find out, you identify that problem, and then you say, what can I? Listen, people of God, you should be teaching your employees this, because this will help you as a manager. This will help you in your business. They're going to bring you all these problems, and you got to make sure that they understand what's going on. Number two is what can I do about it? Number three, here is what I'm going to do. Make a decision. What are you going to do about it? Here's what I'm going to do. Sometimes there's nothing you can do, so you just have to trust God and stay still. But it might be, I'm going to make a phone call. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to deal with this issue head first. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to run away from it. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to gather knowledge about it, and I'm going to do this about it. Amen? And number four, when I'm going to start doing it. So the four things you have to do. What am I worried about? What can I do about it? Here's what I'm going to do. And when am I going to start doing it? If you do those four things, you're going to see that the things that you thought were so big that were going to overtake you, they will not overtake you because God is with you. We only have 1 minute with the viewing audience. But my friends, God loves you. If you've never given your heart to God, say this prayer with me right now. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Come inside my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I thank you, and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I pray your blessings upon my brothers and my sisters. I thank you, Lord, that wherever they're watching, let your presence come upon them. Lord, bring them to this house of faith to worship you and to know you more and more. We bless them right now that this week will be the greatest week of their life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Church, put your hands together for the Lord. Amen.